We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Trust the Tape, episode 7.
7.
Give or take.
It's 7.
I believe it's 7. Depends where you check, though, Brian. If you check the sites where they store them all, it's like episode 70.
Oh, really?
They got them all there.
Yeah.
The history of this.
I'm just talking about the ones that I'm involved with so far.
It's very selfish of you. But
I'm
welcome.
A yay for me guy. Don't you forget it.
Welcome to episode 7 of Trust the Tape. The Combine is upon us, and I've got a whole bunch of questions from a whole bunch of people.
That's good.
I've got a mock draft that I enjoyed looking over today.
Oh,
I hadn't decided. Are you a mock draft hater or a mock draft liker?
I am a mock draft. I like the mock draft. You know, when I was with the Cowboys, I used to be in charge of the mock drafts. I would take the week of the draft when we were done with our meetings. I was responsible for the up and down on the boards and stuff like that as a pro personnel guy. What I would do is I'd hand out the scouts all the team needs, and I'd say, okay, you got the Chicago Bears, the Lions, and the Buccaneers. And so the scouts would pick, and what we would try and do is, we wouldn't use our board. We had a top 150 we would use, and we would go off that top 150. So
okay, see, I'm
a fan of the mock draft as long as you make it to where it's not, you're just not putting guys there saying, okay, well, Grant Delpit has to be at 17, but you know, if it's legitimately a need, go for it, but not just put players to be putting players in spots because they're your 17th best player.
I'm the same way for the Cowboys. Yeah. I've announced as of today. If your pick for the Cowboys at 17 is Xavier McKinney or Grant Delpit, I don't want to see your mock draft.
Yeah.
Because I've already seen it 100 times.
Right.
I want you to have fun. I want you to mix it up. I want you to show me something.
Yeah.
Let me think about something.
Yeah.
Give me something to think about.
Well, see, that's what all these guys do now, you know, on the NFL Network and NFL.com and stuff like that. And I think if you're going to do a bunch of mock drafts, you have to be able to have some flexibility within your board. And it's not just, okay, this time I'm going to give him Grant Delpit. Oh, this time I'm going to give him Xavier McKinney. It's, you know, maybe you drop a guy down there far enough to a point where you could. Yeah. No, I'm all about that. Because there are going to be some guys that are going to slide in this draft.
I would like to discuss with you, Brian.
Okay.
Bucky Brooks mock draft. Because
That gave you some encouragement?
It gave me something different.
Yeah.
And I like different.
Yeah.
So, I hate making it too Cowboys-specific, so I want to give everyone's pick here.
Okay.
And also, we're going to listen, some of the responsibility is on you. If you're listening and you want to hear something about your team, send it in.
Yeah.
Tweet one of us. Respond when we say, hey, what do you want us to talk about on Trust the Tape this week? We did get two from other teams, so we will talk about the Dolphins today. We will talk about the Bills today.
Yes, we should.
But Bucky Brooks mock draft, I'll run it down real quick to get you, I'll say all the way through the first round, right? Joe Burrow, duh. Chase Young, that's okay. I'll let you make it on those two. You don't have to change those.
Sure.
Those are okay. Isaiah Simmons being the third player off the board.
Nice.
Clemson linebacker to the Detroit Lions. Our first offensive tackle at 4, Jedrick Wills to the Giants from Alabama. Tua to the Dolphins. Justin Herbert to the Chargers.
Okay.
Derek Brown to the Carolina Panthers.
Carolina Panthers.
Tristan Wirfs, your man from Iowa, to go protect Kyler Murray in Arizona. Jeff Okuda makes it to 9.
There you go. All right, let me ask you this.
To Jacksonville, which I like because you just step in. Hey, Ramsey's gone. We get Okuda.
Let me ask you this, though. If you're, okay, well, take it out of the Dallas Cowboys' hands even there.
Okay.
So what if you're one of those teams that's sitting behind Dallas there on that board and you see Okuda comes, gets to 9? You interested in going?
Oh, yeah.
You interested?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, is
for sure.
I mean, again, you could be the, you know, you could be the Cowboys sitting there at 17. You're going to be a team that that needs a corner.
Any team that needs a corner.
Any team that needs a corner and he gets to 9, I'm on the phone.
Yeah, and I do feel like more often than not, trading down is what wins. But I love Okuda as a prospect. I think Okuda, if you have a choice between Okuda at 9 and whoever is your next corner at 15 to 20,
Henderson,
I'm going to 9.
I'm Henderson.
I'm going to 9.
Yeah.
I'm going to get Okuda.
Yeah. If there's going to be a certain point in time in that draft where with one of those players that we feel like is a top 5 pick slides, I am battle ready. I've put chum in the water. I've called teams ahead of me like, "Hey, listen, I'm interested in coming up there. If you guys want to move, you guys are serious about moving around, we got 17 to offer here and a couple other things if you're interested."
Yeah.
Look at our roster, too, if you want one of our guys. You know?
Yeah. So we move past 9 and we get to 10. And I want everybody to pay attention. We'll stop once we get past 12 because that's when I want to point something out to everybody. So right now you go Okuda at 9. You go Andrew Thomas, the Georgia offensive tackle, to the Browns at 10. You go Louisville offensive tackle Mekhi Becton to the New York Jets at 11.
Mm-hmm.
And at 12, he sends Jordan Love to the Raiders.
There you go.
So.
There you go.
If you are a team, the reason I'm enjoying this exercise, if you are anybody who doesn't pick in the top 12, I think you would love this. And the reason you love this is because we're 12 picks in. All 4 of the top offensive tackles are gone.
Right.
All 4 of the top quarterbacks are gone.
Right.
We're 12 picks in, and 8 of them were either quarterback or offensive tackle.
Yeah.
So everything else is creeping towards you, whatever team you are.
Right.
At 13, Jerry Jeudy to the Colts.
Okay.
That's our first receiver off the board.
Okay.
At 14, Javon Kinlaw, South Carolina D tackle to the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Okay.
At 15, your guy, C.J. Henderson to the Broncos.
Okay.
At 16, Ke'Lavon Chaisson, LSU edge rusher, to the Falcons, which gets you to 17. And it gets you to 17 with my top 2 players left being receivers. And so now we get to have fun because I haven't seen anyone actually do this in a mock until Bucky. At 17, CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's go.
Now, what defensive players have we lost though? We've lost Kinlaw. We've lost Kinlaw. We've lost
Henderson.
We've lost 2 defensive tackles,
2 defensive backs,
and 2 defensive backs.
Mm-hmm. And
so
2 edge rushers.
And 2 edge rushers. So if you're thinking defense, your best defensive players have been taken off the board, you know, unless they have those safeties graded. And
right.
Just kind of the vibe I'm getting right now from that crew, I think that one of those safeties would be realistic for them.
Probably the one that they would think could get interceptions in the NFL,
yeah,
which would be Delpit.
Yeah.
Probably not the more box guy.
I think we have to be careful about that stuff. And I don't think this is a smokescreen or anything, but I think there is some separation between Delpit and McKinney there for them. I really do.
CeeDee Lamb to the Cowboys at 17.
Okay, now wait, you're totally – that would be your best player on the board for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Am I right about that?
Not only would I pick him, if anybody called me, I'd hang up on them. I'd say –
okay, you're going to go –
I'm picking him.
You're going that route.
I would say I have a top 8 player on the board at 17.
Yeah.
Don't call me. There's nothing to call me about. I'm picking CeeDee Lamb.
Because you got the Dolphins behind you. You got the Raiders behind you. That's a pick that they got from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And the Raiders are a team that's looking for wide receiver help, right?
Yeah, they definitely could.
Everybody had Lamb going to the Raiders at 12.
Yeah.
That's the first time. So if you think that you could trade back and still get this guy, if you're a Cowboys, no. you got a team behind you. Now, you got to watch, man, I'll tell you what. Well, you got to watch the Falcons. If CeeDee Lamb starts to drop, I would watch the Falcons at 16 bailing. Maybe the Raiders are the team that
comes.
Are
you telling me somebody's going to jump me and take my guy?
The Falcons are a team that always works the Cowboys on these deals.
Okay, well.
They did it with Tack McKinley.
And that's okay.
There's always something going on with the Falcons.
You know why that's okay? Because then you take Henry Ruggs and it's okay.
Okay.
Still taking a receiver.
My two
best players left in this scenario would be wide receivers.
Okay.
It would be two receivers at the very top of the board.
None of those linebackers interest you. And you've talked about that.
Not ahead of Lamb or Ruggs.
As a sneaky need.
Yep.
As a sneaky need.
I do, and in Bucky's mock draft, they start going pretty much immediately because 19 and 20 are Kenneth Murray at Oklahoma,
yeah,
to the Raiders, and at 20, Patrick Queen to the Jaguars, yeah, at LSU. Trevon Diggs, the Bama corner at 18, 21, the Eagles get Henry Ruggs.
Yeah.
Somebody
asked about that, by the way, on Twitter.
What'd they ask?
They asked about what players would you worry about those, if they were, it was Cowboys specific. The NFC East opponents ending up with.
Oh, I think
Young is a gut punch.
Oh, I think the worst case is going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
The Giants are going to take a good offensive lineman to build their line.
Sure.
Washington's going to get Chase Young.
Yeah.
And the Eagles are going to stumble fart to Henry Ruggs. That's going to happen.
You got to watch the Eagles, too, coming from where they're at on 21. If that's another look at all these teams behind. If CeeDee Lamb gets to within trading range and you sit there and think that you're just going to take him, that could be tough.
As long as him and Henry Ruggs are both on the board, I'll sit there. I can lose one of you, and then I got to start looking around going, okay, guys, panic time. What do you think? I don't like the way defense is shaping up if you're picking between 17 and 20. I don't want to be the guy that's like, well, at 17, I'm going to take Christian Fulton or Grant Delp. I don't want that pick. I don't want that pick.
Well, that's only if the wide receivers are gone, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. Right. I guess worst case would be the wide receivers are gone and one or two of the offensive tackles makes it to you. And because I don't think you would take one.
Yeah.
AJ Epenesa to Buffalo.
Okay. Can we talk about them real quick? We'll answer that question, right? The Buffalo fans who are calling in.
Yeah.
Or not calling in, but texting us about it.
Yeah. 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 Let me find
it. Texts or tweeting about it. Couple of needs there. We thought wide receiver, right?
Wide receiver for sure.
Yep.
I think so.
Epenesa, good fit for them, though, right?
Yeah, for sure.
It's a pretty good. That's a team, to me, you watch what that team's done defensively.
That's a top three defense.
Yeah, I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. I think that they do a good job over there.
I think they do, too, because they have,
their quarterback at all.
And
though.
I don't want to kill him, but he's still not very good. He's a good runner.
Well, get him some help.
He's not a good enough thrower. But that's why, so the question was from Luke Sweeney on Twitter said, who would Buffalo be targeting if they decide to move up? If not, who would be a good pick for them at 22? And I tell you a guy that I really like for them at 22. And he's not my favorite receiver in this draft, but I think LaVisca Chenault out of Colorado fits in Buffalo
like
really
a
well.
Big, nasty, cold weather guy?
Yeah.
Like playing the snow, playing the cold, be big.
Josh Allen's accuracy is up and down, so I'm not trying to find somebody who's going to be like this super down the field guy. I don't want to have to throw him pinpoint passes, but if you take a guy who's just a monster when the ball's in his hands and say, hey, we're going to find ways to get you the ball, screen game, just stop routes and slant routes and end arounds, and we're just going to find a way to get the ball in your hands. I think LaVisca Chenault helps that offense.
Yeah, that's a team. You know, if you look at the Bills, though, John Brown, who they got from the Baltimore Ravens.
We need a big guy. Yeah. We got tiny people.
Well, then Cole Beasley, too.
Yeah.
Cole Beasley had a nice season. Duke Williams, Isaiah McKenzie was a guy. Robert Foster. I mean, they need a big-time player to help that quarterback for sure.
AJ Epenesa goes 22 to the Bills.
Okay. Kind of a nice fit there. It puts him in there with Trent Murphy involved. Ed Oliver playing inside for those guys. Tulele.
That's fun.
As a guy, Jerry Hughes did a nice job, has always done a nice job for them. So, yeah, why not?
Xavier McKinney goes to the Patriots in Bucky's mock draft. Christian Fulton to the Saints to pair up with Marshawn Lattimore. Grant Delpit becomes a Viking at 25.
Okay, stop right there.
Okay.
For Cowboy fans and say, that's kind of where Grant Delpit should be.
Yes, agree.
So at 17, and if you determine the safety class is not deep enough, and you don't want to deal with one at 51, you know?
You might get stuck at 17.
You might get stuck at 17.
But if it was like this scenario and you were stuck at 17 and picked them and left guys like CeeDee Lamb and Henry Ruggs on the board,
yeah.
I would say you did that wrong.
Yeah.
I would say you did that wrong.
Yeah. You might have that opportunity to say that. Well, I don't know. Like I said, it would be interesting if the last quarterback does go at 12.
Yeah, for
that's
sure.
And like you said, tackles, quarterbacks push everything down. That would be a good thing if you're one of those people that are picking in the middle of that board.
Yeah. DeAndre Swift, our first running back at 26 to Miami.
Okay, with that in your mind of how much you devalue the running back of picking in the first round, is that a good spot
for
him?
How dare you say that about me?
I said it
to
in a
my
way,
face.
I said it in a positive way because you do devalue the running back in the first round.
I do.
Is that beyond your first round numbers?
I wouldn't mind it at 26. I tell you what would worry me about it though. Let's take Ezekiel Elliott.
Okay, you didn't like it at 4.
I didn't like it at 4, and I would never like it at 4 to pick a running back because I can find one later. Like, I would rather have Clyde Edwards-Helaire at 56 than DeAndre Swift at 26.
Okay.
But what worries me now is that the running backs know what's happening. They understand.
Yeah.
Zeke held out because he understands what's happening.
The devaluation.
You're going to run me for 5 years.
Yeah.
Into the ground,
mm-hmm.
and then say, well, see you later. And yep. Everybody's going to look at me like, well, we don't really want to give you money either. You're done. And so he held out. So I don't know if I want to pick a first-round running back thinking, hey, in 3 years, he might not show up to camp because he knows how this works. So I think I would just I would turn over second- and third-round backs every 3-4 years. Bang, bang, bang. Clockwork. Give me Zach Moss. Give me Edwards-Helaire. Tell me who the backs are 3 years from now. I'll find just pick the next Georgia guy.
So every second round, you're looking for a back. Second or third round, you're going to be looking for a back.
Yeah, maybe the fourth.
Edwards-Helaire, the Taylor kid. We talked to Akers from Florida State.
Yeah.
People think that Akers is going to be a steal.
Yeah.
Benjamin from Arizona State. Yeah.
Give me a guy.
I see what you're doing.
At 27, Yetur Gross-Matos, Penn State, mm-hmm. pass rusher to Seattle. 28, my guy Zach Bond out of Wisconsin to the Ravens.
I see what you're doing there.
At 29, Austin Jackson, USC tackle.
Boy, good looking
Titans.
Tackle. Yeah.
Sneaking Jacob Eason into the first round here to the Packers.
Ooh.
Cameron Dantzler to the 49ers.
All right, let me ask you this. That a little rich considering you really like Arnett from Ohio State, Gladney from TCU?
I would probably put Gladney there over Dantzler. But I like Dantzler, too. I like all of those guys.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going to happen is my second round's got like 6 corners in it.
Yeah.
And
3 here.
One or two of them is going to sneak into the first round.
Yeah.
But, well, where do you have Gladney?
I have him in the second round. I have Arnett, Gladney, TCU, and then Terrell from Clemson as my second round guy.
Where do you have Dantzler?
Third round.
Oh, Brian.
Top of the third.
Oh, Brian.
I got him in there with him and that Bryce Hall from Virginia.
Brian.
I'm just telling you.
I'm not doing the podcast today. I can't handle this sort of aggression, this sort of disrespect to my guys. It's tough. Marlon Davidson goes 32nd to the Chiefs out of Auburn. So that's Bucky's.
It's all ice cream, my friend. All ice cream.
That's kind of true.
It is.
Okay, so we did the Buffalo. Let's move on from Buffalo question from Luke here.
You know what? I do like, but you know, if you talk about Miami as a team that needs running backs, though.
And
you
we had multiple guys asking about Miami just in terms of, hey, draw me up, you know, how does this work with all this draft capital? You're talking about picking 5, 18, and 26.
Yeah.
What are you trying to come out of there with?
I think I would start
with Tua if he's healthy.
Yeah,
the dream is that you can get him at 5, which I don't know that you can.
I think the Raiders had a heck of a plan last year. Just to sit there. Don't worry about moving up. Just with the way Jeff just kind of spelled it out for you. Where you're sitting, some good players are going to fall in your lap. You know, just sit at your spot, pick your guys, and then go on. You know, I think Chris Greer knows that in Miami. He's a good evaluator down there. Just do exactly what the Raiders did. Sit there, pick players, and then away you go.
Let's go. Let me see here. So their offseason needs. Here's the fun part if you're a Dolphin fan. I wanted to look it up and get somebody else's perspective to see if I'm right about this, but I'm seeing their offseason needs as offensive tackle, interior offensive line, quarterback, edge rusher, cornerback, running back, linebacker, safety, defensive line, tight end. everything.
Yeah.
So basically, you're just saying, who's the best player that falls in my lap at every single
spot? That's exactly how I'd play it.
So at five, maybe it's Tua.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Justin Herbert.
Right.
Maybe they fall in love with Jordan Love. I don't know.
Yeah.
But maybe it's one of those quarterbacks at five. And then you go down to 18, and that puts you in that same Cowboy range where you're like, I'll say at 18. Maybe your best case scenario is one of those four tackles makes it.
Absolutely.
Maybe you can get Andrew Thomas or Mekhi Becton.
Absolutely.
Tristan Wirfs.
Oh, Wirfs. That's Walter Jones to me. I know old school, if you're a Seahawk fan listening to us, you guys remember Walter Jones. That's what that guy is. Wirfs, Walter Jones to me. Never on the ground. Tough, big, strong, physical, athletic.
Who do you think is the fourth best in this tackle group? Is it Andrew Thomas? Is it Jedrick Wills? Is it Wirfs? Is it Becton?
No, I've got, let me, I'll tell you exactly how I've got that crew because
I want the fourth one because I think that's the most realistic at 18.
Thomas, Georgia.
Okay, so we're going to say
Wirfs, Wills, Becton, Thomas. I think the Thomas would be that guy that I would, that 18th pick, what you're talking about, Miami? Absolutely.
So we'll say that for Miami, I think it would be great for them if they went either Tua or Herbert, whoever's at five.
Right.
If either of them's at five. Then Andrew Thomas at 18 to get some protection there.
Mm-hmm.
And with your final pick in the first round, what about Jeff Gladney or maybe one of these linebackers?
Yeah.
Maybe Queen or Murray?
Yeah, if Queen or Murray, I think Murray would have, I think people like Queen.
Jalen Reagor? Huh?
Yeah, yeah. You brought up the fact, though, that you think that people will not like Queen's size. Overall,
6'1",
yeah,
in the 220s,
yeah,
not a long guy.
Where Murray from Oklahoma is a bigger, thicker guy.
He's a little bigger, longer.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've seen a lot of people have him down in that 25 to 30 range as far as picking him. Boy, he's a good player. Both those guys run to the football, make plays.
Yeah, they do.
Woo!
All right, grade that for us, Dolphin fans.
Yeah,
Tua, Andrew Thomas, Kenneth Murray. That's your first round.
They got three on my book. Three legitimate first-round players on my book.
So, okay, we've gotten your Buffalo knocked out. We got your Miami knocked out. Let's go to Cliff's question for us, Brian.
Okay.
He says, random, in the NBA draft, age is a big consideration. Many of the guys that are 21 and older get glossed over for the 18 to 20-year-olds. Seems like age doesn't make a difference in the NFL draft unless a guy's much older than his peers. Why is that? I guess I disagree.
Yeah.
I think age is considered.
Age is something we always talked about, even though...
If you have a guy who's 20 that's in the NFL draft that you think his tape is outstanding, you're going to take him over a 23-year-old.
Yeah.
You're going to do it.
Yeah.
If you think they're anywhere close as players, you'll cheat to the 20-year-old.
I think Tristan Hill is 21 years old.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, that was a second-round pick.
Think about Tua versus Burrow.
Exactly.
Burrow's 2 or 3 years older than Tua.
Right.
And now you're going to take – people are going to take Burrow because of the injury concern Tua, but still, you're looking at Tua and you're like, man, this is a young dude.
The reports from the Combine, I'm starting to hear some whispers that teams were favorable of Tua's medical report.
Hey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's – what is that, 21 versus 23?
Yeah.
Maybe Burrow will be 24
as rookie year? We did that in the 2003 draft, and I don't mean to be back in the day, guy, but that's my experience. That's how long ago it's been. But – Terrence Newman was an older guy, you know, and a lot of people were very critical of us at the time with the Cowboys that why would you take an older corner? You know, and he ended up playing until he outlasted everybody in his draft class when it came to that, you know?
So I guess the way I would view it is I don't view the older prospect as something to knock, but I do for the younger prospect, if they're able to do the same things on the field, give them a bonus.
Yep.
I don't pull down the old man, but I do prop up the young man.
I don't disagree with you on that. I think what you got to do is in this day and age of free agency, though, you got to have those guys whether they're ready or not. I mean, you got to go if age whatever. You got to get draft guys that can come in and play.
Sure,
because you're going to have them. You're going to have to make a determination, and either you're going to have to keep them long term or you're going to have to move on.
From GC on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
I love the player he's asking about. He says, "Where do you project Harrison Bryant?"
Oh.
And of course, he adds on his Dallas thing at the end. Could Dallas get him with their third round pick?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. So, Harrison Bryant, Florida Atlantic, tight end.
Yeah.
And he's my tight end number one in this draft class. They play him more as a receiver.
I love your board, by the way. You got some names.
Oh, I'm not afraid.
No, I know you're not. That's what's great.
I learned from a guy who said, "Don't window dress your board.
Don't window dress your board.
If you believe it's the best, he's the best. Put him up there. Everybody else can take
like
Cole Kmet. I'm taking Harrison Bryant.
Talk about that linebacker, that Wisconsin linebacker you love too,
Zach Bond, linebacker number two.
Yeah, that's great. I love you doing that. Harrison Bryant, Florida Atlantic.
Yeah, I think that he's athletic. He's big. After the catch, he can make some things happen. And I actually think when they let him play as sort of a move guy and ask him to block, he blocks better than he's going to get credit for.
Prove that to Senior Bowl.
Harrison Bryant is my tight end one. Yep. And I think if I had to guess, I would say he's a late second round pick, if I have to guess. But if you're a team that needs a tight end and he's there in the third round, I would hop, skip, jump, and do back springs, back handsprings to turn that card in.
I just kind of feel like that people are going to see him in the middle of that board, Jeff, in the second round.
Yeah.
I do. I just feel like there's too many qualities about this young man that makes you feel like, okay, he is that new age tight end, the new age guy that you
– the Wookiee.
That like it down the field. You put him on the move. You flex him out. This guy's got really natural hands. He catches in them easy. He extends for the ball. The coaches will go to him no matter the situation. That's the thing I like about him. Fourth down, boom. Who are we throwing the ball to? Harrison Bryant's getting the ball. Red zone, who's getting the ball? Harrison Bryant's getting the ball down there in the red zone. I mean, this guy's a mismatch player, and I think in this day and age in the National Football League, you got to have mismatch players on offense. There's no way he gets to you in the third round.
Who's your top tight end?
I like the kid myself, the complete tight end from Dayton
Troutman.
Yeah. Okay. I don't have a first round tight end.
Yeah, me neither.
I've got Troutman and I've got Bryant, but I think to me that Troutman, and maybe I'm getting a little mesmerized by, I saw a little bit more power in the player as a blocker. So if I'm going to go full on...
Probably because he was blocking me.
Well, exactly. When you're blocking radio hosts.
How was he at the Senior Bowl?
You know what? It was okay. You know, I he didn't look out of place. But Bryant caught my eye blocking at the Senior Bowl. But Troutman, I think Troutman's kind of got that Dallas Goedert vibe to him that you're thinking about, oh, wait, he's a smaller school guy. Why is he playing in this conference? I just look at the guy, and he's a bigger guy, and he takes advantage of people. You're absolutely right, but he could also, like Bryant, he could be a mismatch problem. This is a good group of tight ends.
I agree. We've heard it's a bad group of tight ends and a bad group of linebackers, and I'm working through. No, it's not.
I mean, I'm telling you. The Missouri kid, Owe Kude Bunab.
Albert O is what I'm going with.
You're going Albert O?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I mean, I'm looking at him, and these are good-looking athletes. The kid, I watched the kid Parkinson from Stanford this morning.
Yeah.
You know, here's a guy that can play in line, but he plays flexed. The coaches have figured out how to use these big athletic guys. The Cowboys, if you're following along what they're doing, they're talking to these tight ends. I mean, it's going to be about... And even they're thinking about, hey, how do you get Blake Jarwin more involved? How do you get Dalton Schultz more involved? You know, and then get a tight end here that can help you a little bit with the blocking, but is also a downfield player as well.
Our buddy Dalton Miller asks, how do you choose between low floor, high ceiling guys and mid floor, low ceiling guys on day three?
Explain it. See, they never talked about when I was scouting in Dalton. Hey, I appreciate his question, and I really like his eye for these players. We never ever talked about that. That was something in the 90s and the 2000s or the early 2000s when I was scouting. We never talked about players that way. It was never like, Ron Wolf or those guys never said, well, tell me about the high ceiling guy, the low floor guy. When did this all kind of come about? I'm sorry.
I don't know, but I'll phrase it this way. What about you get to let's say it's the fourth round, and you've got a receiver on the board.
We were chasing traits.
Right. Okay, so that's your low floor, high ceiling guy.
Okay.
So, what I would say is, say you've got a Cole Beasley type there in the fourth round. We're like, guys, we think this guy can play slot in the NFL, right?
Right.
We don't think he'll be a superstar, but we think he can do the job for us.
So is that a low floor guy? Or
That would be my mid floor, low ceiling. Like,
okay.
I don't think that he's going to be a star.
Okay.
But I think he can play and he can help us. And then another guy on the board would be one of these small school defensive ends that runs the three cone in 6.7 seconds. And you're like, holy cow. Like, the production wasn't really there. Maybe he's not big enough, but athletically, he looks like one of these guys. Crap, he could turn into Danielle Hunter. I don't know. And so, like, how do you balance those things?
Yeah.
And I guess it depends on the round and the individual players you're talking about. But I do think
I hear people talk about that all the time now, and it always, like, I'm like, high ceiling. I assume the high ceiling being room to grow, you know?
High ceiling as in he might be a superstar.
Right.
Or maybe he can't play.
Yeah.
Right? Like these super twitched up athletes that haven't done anything. Rashawn Gary.
Yeah.
Was super high ceiling. But
I asked you this question because you do a really good YouTube thing. YouTube videos and
stuff. YouTube.com/Jeff Cavanaugh, where everybody should subscribe.
Take a look at that. I wanted to know, guys, a guy that you might be the most wrong about. That you got that. I asked you that question. When you look at your board, you're like, man, I see it, but I don't see it, you know, kind of a thing. And you're thinking about, I didn't give this guy enough credit, and I have a chance to be really, really wrong about him.
Cole Kmet is my tight end number 6.
Oh, that's, yeah.
The Notre Dame tight end.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people have him as their top tight end.
Yeah.
But I've got both the Bryants, Adam Trautman, Asiasi at UCLA.
Uh-huh.
I actually have Bryson Hopkins ahead of him, too, at Purdue.
Yeah.
So maybe that one, if Kmet ends up being really good, I'll be like, whoops, missed on that.
Yeah.
Who else could I be wrong on? I don't picture myself being wrong very often, Brian.
Right.
Picture myself just hitting home runs. Weaver, the Boise State pass rusher, I've got him like in the middle of the third round. I've seen people with him in their top 30.
Yeah. I don't think you're wrong about him, though. I don't think you're wrong about him. I got the
Liberty receiver all the way up in the third round.
That would be Gandy Golden.
Antonio Gandy Golden.
I have him in the third round, too. I actually have him behind Pittman, USC, Edwards in South Carolina, and then Gandy Golden.
Maybe I'll be wrong on Pittman.
Gabriel Davis. You seen him?
I've not seen him.
Central Florida?
Maybe I'll be wrong on Pittman.
You think Pittman, you have him too high or too low?
I have him as wide receiver. Well, you know what? Two guys. And unfortunately, they're both big guys, which is where I get burned.
Is this now the nervous factor comes in? Is this where you get
Michael Pittman?
You had the Ole Miss trembles?
Treadwell, yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Pittman and Denzel Mims. I have them both in the second round.
Ooh.
I like them both.
Ooh.
I like
your
them
board
both.
Is unique for sure.
Thank you.
I mean, I think that's Matabike is the guy that I might be the most wrong about. That's the guy that's kind of got me nervous from Texas A&M.
Second round.
See, I've got him like in the lower half of the third.
Oh, Brian.
I got Gallimore from Oklahoma above him.
I don't. But you're not alone, though. Gallimore's got really good traits.
But
you know what Gallimore is?
But I got Gallimore.
High ceiling.
But I got him in the third round.
Both
Blacklock from TCU, I've got in the second. Now, I could be wrong about him.
We could be wrong about Jordan Elliott. He had bad college production, or not good college
That's
production.
That's an Iowa defensive tackle?
No. The Missouri.
I'm sorry. I was thinking of the colors.
Missouri D-tackle.
Yeah.
We really, really like him. I see other people are starting to really, really like him. But
how about Lewis
Davis
from Alabama?
Davis Gaither. My linebacker, Akeem Davis Gaither?
Nah, his socks move faster than everybody else's socks.
I'm taking him in the top 40, top 50.
Oh, I got him in the second round.
Yeah,
I got him in the second round for sure. Yeah. He's in that group. He's in that group with, like I say, with Queen. Well, Queen and Murray are my two first-round guys. And then Braun, I've got, like, just kind of lurking on the outside.
Yeah,
yeah, kind of lurking right there. But,
Let me see.
More questions. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to sidetrack you there.
Just trying to see what else we got here. Hold on now.
You haven't seen Brooks from Texas Tech play linebacker yet.
I have seen Brooks.
Where did you put him?
I was watching tape last night.
Where'd you put him?
Top of the third.
Oh, thank you.
Is that
That's it? Where I had it.
Is that where you got him?
Yeah, there's a guy that we could both be wrong about for sure.
Yeah, I got the Tech guy there, and then I watched the Utah linebacker, whose name is escaping me because that's what I do.
Yeah. You had too many names in your head?
And then I tried to watch the Montana linebacker, but I didn't have tape on him yet. So I'll have to get the Montana.
There was like the Wyoming linebacker.
Maybe that's who I was thinking of. Yeah, Wyoming, yeah.
Logan Wilson.
I was doing Dane's top 10 linebackers. Yeah, the one I'm missing.
Logan Wilson.
Is that
that's
one.
Why. He is like, okay, people are going to say, oh, because I'm going to say this. He's kind of a throwbacks linebacker. Like he could have played like in the, he could have played in the 70s kind of a guy. Because he's kind of rangy and you know, kind of bounces off people, goes and makes tackles, kind of awkward looking.
I like a good awkward looking.
Yeah, he's kind of an awkward looking guy that makes tackles.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Let's see here. This is from Luis. I've seen reports of the Cowboys meeting with tight ends at the combine.
Yeah, we talked about
that. What type of tight end are they looking at? Hybrid or more traditional? I think the two names I saw were more of your inline guys, right?
More inline.
Stanford and Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Pinckney and then. And then who we just saw.
I want him to start looking at these mismatch players. Come on, boy. Listen, Harrison Bryant, guys.
He's
a mismatch guy, but he can block.
Yeah.
He can block. Let's go, Dallas.
They did an interview with Parkinson from Stanford, but, man, I would not call him a good option as an inline blocker.
Yeah.
Pinckney has got it.
He can block.
Vanderbilt. He can block. He can block. But Parkinson, boy, I'm sucking wind in my teeth right there talking about that guy.
All right, that's all I got today. Would you want to tell everybody what's your favorite barbecue side or anything like that on our way out?
No, I just
no.
No,
I don't.
I appreciate all the fans. I appreciate the fans from the other clubs that like our show
for sure.
You know, and just keep saying it. Now the grind's really starting because you're down to those players. You know, don't quit on it. I mean, go and find that fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round guy that, you know, and get your board right. You know, get your names, get your name. You know, we're inside, I think, 60 days, near 60 days.
Yep.
This combine will be over. We'll be in a pro days, you know, and it'll be the sprint to the end. But make sure your board's getting set and trust your eyes. Whatever you're seeing, trust your eyes there. Don't let other people, don't let me or Jeff influence you in any way. You know, we'll help you along, but Have your own opinion. That's
but I'll
good
be
thing.
Right if you disagree with me.
Nah.
So be careful there.
You can be fine.
Okay, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Please, wherever you listen to this podcast, give it the 5-star review.
Oh,
we're trying to get to number one on the charts. You know, like Mariah Carey and Garth Brooks used to do. We're trying to get to number one.
Somebody ask us to do a duet.
Yeah, I ignored that question.
I gave it a like.
I think it was
the one that sing Grease.
Yeah, I think it was the one from Grease.
The one that I love.
That's weird.
Say goodbye, Jeff.
Bye, everybody. We'll see you for episode 8.
8.
Yeah!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.